Thank you very much indeed. On today's music show, that was the London Klezmer Quartet, who are back in Australia for a tour, and they've come into our studio. Ilana Kravitz playing violin, Susie Evans clarinet, Carol Isaacs accordion, and Indra Burichevska double bass. Tell us about maybe the first bit of what you just played.
The first tune is one I wrote called Butterfield Green. It's in the style of a traditional dance, a sort of quite chirpy dance. It can get a lot faster than that as it goes along. And I suppose the inspiration was the idea of getting something that was going to get people up and moving using the traditional format. But then when we came around to arranging it, some of my other things kicked in. So we had our Brandenburg moment. I don't know, Andy, if you noticed there. When we returned to the top, we had a fugal section.
Yes, yes.
And then in the second, as we went into the second tune, which is a traditional tune, when we came to the second time around that, we had a gypsy call. So then maybe that's more of Susie and Indra's influences. They play a lot of Balkan music. So although the tunes may turn out a little more traditional, some of them we've managed to sneak in other things that have come to us from other places in our lives.
Yes. And then it sort of went into something else, didn't it?
That was, the second tune. I'm talking about the Behusha Chosid, which has this, we got it off an old recording, and the kind of, the little left-hand pizzicato thing that we have going there, really springs off.
Yes. But we talked last time you were on about listening to old recordings and sort of trying to find your, well, repertory, but also a sense of style. And that was in connection with your CD, when there's a new one out now, which indeed has what we've just heard on it and takes its title from it, indeed. So what's happened in the meantime? How would you say that the music of the London Klezmer Quartet has developed since then? And please don't jump in. Everybody has a microphone here, all four of them. So far, we've only heard from Ilana.
Well, we're writing quite a lot of our own tunes now. So Ilana wrote the first one of that, and then we attached it to a traditional tune. So we like to say that we play, traditional, old traditional tunes and new traditional tunes. So we're always composing in the style of these, old recordings that we've learnt the rest of our repertoire from.
How much of it would you say then the music is in your blood when you play, and how much of it is, in a sense, kind of like you could put on somebody's accent? If you say you're writing in the tradition of these old recordings.
Well, I think as far as the music being in our blood goes, that's kind of like a soulful thing. If you feel the music, then you play it the way you feel it. And we've all kind of learnt these traditions. So, from my background, I've got another band in London called Shikoya, and we do a lot of Balkan music. So the repertoire that I kind of compose has got more of those kind of Bulgarian rhythms and these kind of Balkan influences, whereas I think Carol writes music that's more kind of related to her experiences.
Yeah, there's a track on the album that's based on an Iraqi folk song, Kiev to Karada, sort of wrote around that. But there's another track that we're going to play, actually, the Santipap Hora, which again is a traditional dance. It's a hora. It's a sort of a slow, dignified dance in a kind of limping 3/8 feel. But I wrote it I was on holiday in northeastern Thailand, and there's a particular ornament that the music from kind of folk country music from northeastern Thailand, the Isan region, which is called Luktung, and it's got this kind of that little, you'll hear that in the Santipap Hora. I kind of put it in because it's a flavour. I play that kind of music quite a lot when I'm over there, and it's a real flavour of the region. So you're influenced by where you are, where you write the tunes, what you have around you, what you're listening to at the time.
Do you think that's possibly the only klezmer piece that's got a northeastern Thai ornament in it?
The only one we're playing for you here today,
right, yes. Okay. You heard it here first.
There's probably a huge secret repertory, isn't there? And presumably also the fact that, the four of you have got different experiences and you hang out together in this quartet, you must affect each other's writing as well.
I think that's true. I think we do. And sometimes it's almost subconscious, because the two pieces that we've put together that Susie and Carol wrote separately in Thailand actually have a very similar opening. They go dum ba da da dum, and that's Carol's in the 3/8 rhythm she was talking about, and then Susie's the same rhythm in 7/8, and they were in completely separate parts of the bar when they wrote that.
That's extraordinary. You're listening to The Music Show on RN. I'm my guests are the London Klezmer Quartet. But last time we went back right back in history, but let's just go back to the 1970s, which is really, I suppose, when the Klezmer revival starts, and it's an American-led thing. Since then, in the last 40 years, How would you say the music has changed? Is it simply that it's become broader and embraced all sorts of other influences?
It's a difficult question to answer because of the things we've been talking about, the fact that everybody does bring their own things to bear on it. So you have groups like the Klezmatics, who, you know, were there at the beginning of the revival, 30 years later, they're still going, and they're now setting the poetry of Woody Guthrie to music that may not sound Jewish to some people's ears, but there's Jewish content in the poetry and in the prose that they're actually taking for their songs and tunes. So the question, what is klezmer, obviously comes to the fore again, and we tend to say, you know, embraces the repertoire, the old repertoire, but then there's the tunes that the clients demand. They say, well, that's klezmer, definitely, you know, play us Hava Nagila. Mm. Even if we say, well, you know, it's not a traditional tune. Well, you know, it's a klezmer tune. And then there's the tunes that are in the repertoire already. And then there's the tunes that we like to play, that we put into the repertoire.
Yes. And broadly speaking, anything can be turned into klezmer. Are you saying, like, just like anything could be turned into jazz or...
Well, it depends what you mean. I mean, if you mean...
Yes.
That kind of thing. We can always put a lowered second in and make it sound a little bit more klezmery. So, yes and no. I mean, there are certain things that don't change about klezmer. The fact that you're not going to go off on a massive improvisation necessarily like you would in jazz in these dance tunes. The fact that the tune is always to the fore. It's not really about chord sequences so much as the tune itself. You know, there are certain unchanging
things. Whilst Hava Nagila may not be one of them, there are klezmer standards, aren't there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think the first book that most of us had was The Complete Klezmer, Susie, is that?
That's right, yeah. Henry Sapoznik put this book together, The Complete Klezmer, and it comes with a CD in the back. So you've got all these kind of old recordings like Naftali Branwine and Dave Tarras. So you've got the manuscript and then the recording to compare it to. So that's kind of the ideal way of learning this kind of thing. And you get the kind of standard tunes like Nacht in Gain Eden, the night in the Garden of Eden. And like someone who knows klezmer will recognise that tune.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have got standards, yeah.
What do you do in your workshops? Who comes to them? I mean, are they klezmer musicians? Are they people who've got clarinets? Are they... What happens?
I believe in the upcoming one, we've got 15 of those who have clarinets.
Right, okay.
Somebody described it as clarinet heavy. A couple of double basses. It's sort of all singing, all dancing these days. We embrace everybody, so even if they don't bring an instrument, it's okay. And we tend to teach a tune. We teach a bit about ornamentation. We teach a bit about the accompaniment they might use, bass lines, and the dances that go with them. So they come away, hopefully, with at least one tune that they know everything about. And around that, we'll give them a little bit of history and perhaps some ideas about other stuff that's going on so they can push it into context.
Yes, yes. And then they go off and form quartets, like...
Yeah, well, it's the competition, you know. We can have a competition. Yeah.
Yes, I think you should include in your workshop, just for your, from a point of view of self-preservation, certain bits of misinformation.
I was once taught a bit of misinformation. Tuning is a bourgeois concept.
All right. I can't wait to hear Santipap Hora with the Northeastern Thai ornamentation. So I'm going to invite you to play again for us. But thank you very much indeed for coming in again. It's good to see you. And this is a tune by Carol Isaacs, and it's called Santipap Hora, and it's played by the London Klezmer Quartet. Thank you.